You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Daily is Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Yes, and it's Thursday here on Purple Daily. Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. And we have a couple interesting Vikings-related reports trickling out here in the last several hours. And we want to get your thoughts quarterback related. So we'll get to Thor in just a moment here. Judd, tell the audience about our new partner, Northern Fire Barbecue and Grilling Supply. They are going to provide the scorching hot takes desk on stage at the Fillmore next Thursday night for the draft party.
I can't wait for this because I am going to be going to that desk constantly to give you scorching hot takes. But how would you like this? You're looking right now.
Shuffling over there.
You're looking right now at the, you're looking live at the best barbecue playground.
You are looking live.
In town. That's
from
right.
Third degree burns.
That's right. No. Not at Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue Supply. The only thing that you're going to get, top of the line grills, 70 different gas grills, and the deliciousness of, get this, over 150 dry rubs or a sauce selection. They've got an entire flavor wall, boys. They've got entire flavor wall that is going to make you just so happy if you are a barbecue guy or gal. Also, the only Twin Eagle dealer in the Twin Cities carrying luxury outdoor grill and equipment, unique cuts of meats and seafood. What don't they have? Just go to their website, northernfirebbq.com, or check them out at their location, which is just north of Highway 62 on Shady Oak Road, northernfirebbq.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're into barbecue, Northern Fire is the place for you.
Let's go.
Football.
Thor, how are you, sir? One week until Christmas night for football fans.
Yeah, we're really getting there now. I'm getting excited. I am laying out the last of my Thor 500 big board right now, 500 player comps, which is going to be published on Fantasy Pros like an hour and a half after we get off this recording.
Oh, today. That's the Thor 500's coming out today.
Like literally the final touch. I'm putting the last dudes at the very, very bottom of the board. So yeah, like my favorite piece to do to publish of the year. So yeah, very excited. We put it out a week before the draft, and so that means we are officially draft week.
Oh. Yeah.
This is so awesome.
I mean, how do you, because we talk about Mr. Irrelevant, the last player drafted in the seven rounds. How do you must agonize over Mr. Irrelevant number 500 on the Thor 500 every year, don't you?
Yeah, it typically ends up being a guy that I enjoyed watching in college. I don't want to give anything away because I'm still
Iowa punter.
He is way, way higher.
He's Mr. solidly, solidly he's in the 500.
He's 32.
As all of our loyal watchers would know from the mock drafts, I will give that away. He is in the fourth round. You know, I think as people who watch this know, the PFF, they need to be watching this show because we can steal him in the seventh round every single time. But I can't give away the 500 guy on there, mostly because I'm still between like four guys. You know, it's like trying to pick the pet guy that I'm going to give bestow that honor to.
Yeah, it's tough. So, okay, so Purple Daily listeners, Thursday loyalists, be sure to, I'm sure you're going to tweet the link out later today when it's ready on Fantasy Pros, but the Thor 500 will be out. So here's a couple interesting reports from this morning. Our old friend Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, he confirms that tonight is the night Jaden Daniels is scheduled to have dinner with Vikings brass in Baton Rouge. They're going to meet, maybe do a little whiteboarding. It's not going to be like a throwing session, but the Vikings are meeting with Jaden Daniels. That whole thing was weird. His agent came out yesterday and was putting out like emojis and liking tweets that were suggesting that the Commanders process is weird. Why would you bring all of these quarterbacks in on the same day? It shows some uncertainty or whatever. But and then this came out from ESPN's Get Up this morning, and I was watching for a little while. I did not see this clip, but the Purple Persuasion's done a great job of aggregating everything Vikings related the last few weeks. According to Kimberly A. Martin on Get Up on ESPN, the Vikings are trying to get a trade in place before draft day. The Vikings have been on the phone to actively move up. In a perfect world, they would like to start Thursday with a top five pick already in hand, Thor.
Reckless.
What do you make of that report?
Makes sense to me. Yeah, passes the sniff test. It's the same equation that we've talked about before. You can't do the Chargers pick before they're on the clock. That's the only one that you couldn't do before the draft starts, because you couldn't guarantee that the QB4 would be there, that you wouldn't get hopped after the fact. But any of the other four picks you could do beforehand, that's the cost equation. And that's the top three pick one is the one where I think, and from what I've heard, the ask of the second and the third pick has been cost prohibitive so far in the days leading up to the draft. Will the ask come down? I think is what that becomes. And then engaging the Cardinals on that, will their ask come down a little bit? That's what we're going to find out here in the next couple of days.
And also, if that does take place, and I could see that, like, it feels like the Vikings have done an amount of due diligence where they probably would prefer not to leave this up to chance. So, like, the draft starts and a lot goes up to chance, right? Teams can jump you at that point. But we'll also find out, if they do make a trade, who they're comfortable with as far as that group of upper echelon QBs, right? Because, like, if they go to three and they pay that price, that to me is going to say that they probably wanted Drake May. If they go to two, it becomes Daniels probably. If they go to four or five, so, like, that's the thing is, I think this is going to, if they can get this done, this is going to give us a very good idea of sort of where they had their sights set. And four or five, Thor, to me, would indicate that they really are truthful, that there was more than one of these guys that they liked enough where they would be comfortable with, you know, any of the probably three or four since Caleb's going to the Bears.
Yeah. With a shade of gray, I think it's that, but also it's because that's the KOC-coaching staff side of it. But there's also the Kwesi analytics-management side of it needs to be within the correct price point. Like, I don't think Kwesi wants to leverage, go way over what he feels is the acceptable price. Maybe even if the coaching staff wants him to for the guy that they might prefer, it's always a delicate balancing act with that. And this is what the reason that you get the correct guy as the decision maker. You have to get the, because he gets all the input from various people, the scouts and the evaluators, down to the area scouts, and then the cross-check people, and all the way up, and then all the different coaches, right? And so you have all these different input sources. He has to make the final call, right? And then he has to decide that he's the one calling and getting the different asks as far as the offers. And he has to do all that math in his head. And you just hope, as the fan of that team, that he's a super duper smart guy. We know that Kwesi is, but we need to hope in this case that he makes the right call, because this is the most important decision the Vikings franchise has made with the transaction in a very, very long time.
So I'm going to just give you my, you know, non-plugged-in opinion here. I think we're talking about, I think Jaden Daniels is going to go number two. You know, that's what the betting markets are saying. Yep. Yeah, I know that there was the weird thing with the agent sort of turning a side eye at the Commanders process. And I know that the Vikings are getting dinner with Jaden Daniels tonight. That seems like a bunch of different people doing due diligence. I think it's going to go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then with the Vikings, we're talking about a move up the board for either J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. And we've been talking to you for 3 months here on this show leading up to the draft. We know where you stand on J.J. We know that you have J.J. above Drake May. I'd love to do a deeper dive into sort of those two players. What's fixable? What's not? I was telling these guys, we had Doogie on for a scoop session on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd today. A little Reckless Speculation Thursday. And I'm like an hour into the JT O'Sullivan, Brett Coleman podcast Bootleg Football, two of the biggest film breakdown guys on YouTube, and they're just doing like big chunks of time on every quarterback. And they both like they disagreed on some things, but they both agreed that they love JJ McCarthy, but they don't know if you were to extrapolate sample size out, like he's not being asked to play in 15 close games and do it in the fourth quarter and play from behind and more volume of throws. Like when you multiply out the sample size, what does that look like? Well, we won't know until someone drafts him and throws him into the fire. On the Drake May front, JT O'Sullivan, who runs the QB school on YouTube, is saying, man, you could watch his film and he can make some of the most spectacular throws down the field you've ever seen. But then like three different times in a game, he'll just inexplicably throw a ground ball to somebody. He'll just dirt a throw on a very basic curl route or something. What's fixable and what's not from all the things that you've studied with Drake May and JJ McCarthy?
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah, well, we'll start with JJ as I'm wont to do. To that narrative about you know, the you know, we wish we'd been able to see it and he didn't get the shot and you know, if you extrapolate it out and didn't get the opportunity, etc., it's really too bad he didn't get a shot in a big spot in the second half against a nasty NFL caliber style defense to have to roar back in a huge spot, you know, maybe against a legend like, you know, I'm
sensing like, a little like sarcasm from Thor
like
here.
You know, like if they were down, let's say they were in the college football playoff against a Nick Saban defense that was top three and they were down by double digits and then they had to throw. And then they roared back on the back of JJ McCarthy. Like that's the thing I don't, and you guys know this going back months. That's the thing I didn't understand about some of these narratives about McCarthy where they got embedded. The volume stats, I get it, because it's like a counting stat thing. But we did get to see JJ in those spots. That's the friggin' thing. We got to, in a way that we didn't get to see the other guys. Where did you see Drake May in big spots? The teams he was ripping up, it was Duke and, you know, some of these non-Wofford.
Hey, that Duke, you know, like, North Carolina football rivalry is full of passion, okay? Don't you degrade
played the
that.
He played the Gophers, Thor.
Yeah, dude, okay.
why are you doing that to the Gophers? Don't do them dirty.
Dude, the Gophers have like seven national championships, okay? I mean, that is a heritage college football franchise.
Yeah, he chased Joe Rossi out of town, did Drake May. All right. But yeah, you didn't get to see some of those other guys in those big spots. I get the counting stats thing, but again, they were slapping teams silly. I've gone through this stat of how there was seven of the 14, 15 games that Michigan played in last year. JJ McCarthy did not take one fourth quarter snap and yada, yada. And they ran on first down, et cetera. But we did get to see him in those, the big spots. He acquitted himself extremely well in those big spots, was tremendous down the stretch last year. And then in the highest leverage spots, he was arguably the best quarterback in this class, the third down stats, et cetera, et cetera. As far as the things to work on with JJ, there's nuance with his game. The things to work on. The thing with the trajectory of his passes is something to work on with him. And you know, some people have gotten into this. It's funny that you bring up Coleman. Coleman, my buddy on Twitter, X, or whatever we're calling it these days, he had a I love the point that he made about this right after the NFL Combine, right after McCarthy's throwing session, because I totally agreed with it. During McCarthy's throwing session during the Combine, one thing that I really liked that I found particularly impressive about it. He had the awesome throwing session, but one thing that made it contextually even more impressive was the deep throwing. You saw the accuracy and the arm strength, of course, but the loft on the ball, one thing that raised my eyebrow about it was a bit different than the deeper throws that you saw at Michigan, where the longer throws there, it was more of those line drives that you saw the criticism that people give him this pre-draft process of he needs to put more of, you know, the teardrop loft on those downfield throws. At the combine, and then especially his pro day, you've seen it more and more during the process. You saw more of that teardrop. If people have seen some of the cutups of his those two sessions, recall in your mind's eye that throw from the back that he did to Blake Corum down the left sideline in his pro day. You know where you saw from the backside angle, he throws it all the way down, and it's like, you know, it almost hits the ceiling there in the indoor facility that Michigan had. And the point that Coleman made is you can clearly see the mechanical tweaks that that J.J. McCarthy began to make that goes all the way back to the middle of last season that he was working on in the middle of the season, slowly at first. But now you're starting to see the bigger manifestations of that during the pre-draft process. They just have to do with there's slight things while he's throwing. Before, you know, and we talked about this just a little bit, is the thing that I loved about, you know, we talk about how he's so awesome throwing over the middle of the field. It's why the very first rant I did back in February about JJ, why he was such a good fit for KOC's offense, those heat ring intermediate throws, it's because he does that sort of barrel over the top thing, you know, when you know, on those kind of throws. But he had the same sort of throwing motion on some of the downfield throws. There wasn't enough modulation to get more of the loft and trajectory and the feathery touch sort of a thing on the downfield throws. He has now made more of the modulation to get more of that touch and the loft and the trajectory on the downfield throws. And so Coleman was mentioning that. I totally saw that. And so we're seeing more of that. There's another thing with that. People criticize his throwing to the left. Some of the accurate the placement on the throws down the left sideline. What I had noticed, and it wasn't like necessarily an accuracy thing, but it was a placement thing where it was another thing with the mechanics where he would sort of it was a similar thing where it was like he would swing his lower half and then the upper half as opposed to just doing a slight thing over first. A beat over and then, you know, the full throwing motion, like he could have just modulated his body really just, it would have taken him a beat and then he could have done his normal throwing motion. The full accuracy would have played up. And that was why he was seeing some of the accuracy tick down to the left. It's just slight tweaks that J.J. McCarthy can do where his arm talent is going to play up the mechanical stuff. So that's what I'd say about him with regards to that.
Mm-hmm. Both of these guys, and I think Drake May, it probably needs more work, Thor, but both of these guys, it seems to me like in what we see from the scouting reports, certainly have the ability to have their issues to a large degree coached out. So like that's my thing, and that's where O'Connell becomes so important, because you're putting a quarterback now with a guy, you know, with McCowan, with O'Connell, you're putting him in a place where he can have those things coached out. As I was talking about with Dugs as well, that Phil broached our talk with Doogie, I think the thing here that's important at the end of the day is that there's going to have to be patience here. So, like, I think this notion that we have fallen into in the media as fans is that a guy's going to step in and he's going to play day one, and if it doesn't go swimmingly, that there's a problem. And I think the reality is if you're O'Connell, you think, okay, if I could develop this guy, if I can, you know, and it might take a month, it might take 2 months, who knows? But if I could develop him into what I want, that's the most important thing. And I think that's if the Vikings do trade up, if the Vikings do take a quarterback next week, I think that becomes the most important thing then, is to sort of pump the brakes a little bit and say, this is exciting. But if you expect this guy to step in opening day and be a polished veteran, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
You said next week, and I remembered again, and we're only 7 days away, and that made me smile.
I saw that smile come across your face.
Yeah, that made me feel good again. So the way that I would say that is with McCarthy, I think you have the option, at least. It's not like I would say you have to play him immediately. You know, certainly you could the first month or 6 weeks if you wanted to start Sam Darnold. and you know, bring him along a little bit slower, you could. But I think McCarthy is the one of those two guys that you could play right away, because he is coming from a 12 personnel offense that is extremely similar stylistically and in terms of the personnel and in terms of an NFL coach and in terms of everything to exactly what Kevin O'Connell does. I mean, that's what, you know, Harbaugh was doing there and at Michigan. And obviously McCarthy did it at a high level. Now, would, you know, the viability of it early on would qualitatively similar to Darnold the first 4 weeks of the season, that they would have to determine in training camp. Would it hurt JJ McCarthy's confidence? I don't think so. That kid is super duper confident. So if the coaching staff decided that it would help his early on development, you could absolutely toss him in. He was doing just fine in with those concepts the end of last season, like I was just talking about in my spiel there. Drake May is the one that you have to sit him initially. And Drake May, and we talked about this. I've been a little bit lower on Drake May, but I do in the big board I was just talking about. Drake May is a top 10 overall prospect on my board. Even though he is QB4, but he's the one that you do need to sit early on. The reason why is Phil, going back to your question from before about the weaknesses of his game. They're ones where if you wanted to toss him in right at the start of next season, you will see them crop up their ugly head. They're the ones, they're sort of weeds in his game where if you can pull them all out, that's where you got a stud on your hands. But if you just try to toss him out right away, they will come out in a bad way and in a way that could hurt his development. And that's why I'm concerned for Drake May if he is taken by New England, like fatalistically concerned by him, by that, especially if they try to toss him in right away, if he gets into a bad situation. If Drake May gets taken by the Vikings and then they bring him along slowly and, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and they sort of spoon feed him, and then, you know, he's in a good situation when he comes in, that's where I could see him end up succeeding at a high level. The things that he needs to work on, he has the tendency twice a game to glitch, where it's just an outright glitch where you don't know what he's seeing, and he could throw it into a linebacker's chest plate. I saw that a couple of times where there's one of his teammates isn't around. The other one that I saw way more often, it was that thing I was talking about where I love the way, like right after the snap, the back pedal, he does the full field vision. He doesn't go square right away after he gets the ball. He likes a few more beats to see the whole field. I think that's really cool. I like the way he manipulates the spacing of the pocket. He sees the pressure really well while he's looking downfield initially. That's really cool. He has the good sense of moving his feet in order to keep the sort of half halo around him, so he's able to always have the thing, the runway, so he can step up and throw. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing when he begins to denote of Drake, the pocket is beginning to collapse, you must make a decision now. When that goes off in his head, there is a panic that you begin to denote. It's like in his head, it's like danger, danger, danger. He's like, make a decision, make a decision. So he picks something right away. That's exactly it. What you see is he's like, I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. Not only does the decision-making process, you see it speed up, you also see the mechanics in kind speed up. So I saw him sort of, you know, the upper body, but you also see him askew the lower body sometimes entirely. And this is something that some of the analysts will sometimes compliment him for, because sometimes he you know, like back in the day with Brett Favre, you'd see some crazy throws where he doesn't have his lower half at all, or Aaron Rodgers, you know, where it's like he throws, he doesn't have the lower half at all. Drake May has some of those throws. But it's like when you have your throwing platform under you, you know, it's going back to that sniper metaphor I've used before. Would you have that base under you, you will be more accurate in the aggregate. You know, like you can do trick shots for sure every now and again, but in the aggregate, you want that throwing platform under you. And especially when you're sort of panicking and speeding up your mental process of the decision of, oh, we have to pick. Exactly. You do not want your mechanics also to be askewed in those moments. So that is the thing I talked about the first 6, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it is, that I would like wherever Drake May goes to be learning the system and under a veteran and certainly the coaching staff. Those are the things that I want him working on. The things that under the pressure, keeping the mechanics, no matter what is going on around you, you have good things in the setup right after the beats, after the snap. We have to keep that all the way through, no matter what's going on, and giving him a plan for those moments, because it seems like he doesn't have a plan for those moments. And then the other thing is just the transition. You know, speaking to the Vikings situation specifically, to Drake May, last year, the year before when he was awesome, that was in the Phil Longo system, which is sort of unique for college football, especially coming into the NFL. That's the spread system with the one back, where it's like you count the numbers pre-snap, and then they throw downfield a lot if they have the one-on-one shot. It's not super-duper translatable to the NFL. And then last year, they, you know, like people talk about, they had a little bit less talent. They had kind of a dopey offensive coordinator. But at least there was a little bit more NFL-ish concepts than there was in the Longo system. But there, it still wasn't like the KOC system 1,000%, but there was more of the throwing over the middle. But he is not – it wasn't like the 1,000% like the Michigan system was. So he also needs to be taught the offensive system in a way that JJ, I feel like, already has a better backing of.
Yeah. And then there's like beyond just the on the field, the film, the mechanics, the throwing, then there's the whole behind the scenes, leadership, all the stuff that you really can't see on film, which is what the Vikings are trying to figure out with these visits. I have a developmental question that I want to ask you in a second here, but let's shout out a couple more friends. In fact, we have, so the party at the Fillmore, the draft party, is sold out. It's been sold out for weeks. But we're trying to find some other pockets to hang out with you guys, the listeners, and just cheers, a drink, whatever. So our friends at Three Jack in Minneapolis have stepped up for a Purple Daily Day 2 happy hour on Friday, April 26th from 3 to 5 p.m., so the three of us are going to be there, me, Judd, and Declan, just hanging out, mingling and schmoozing and talking about what happened the night before in the first round. And it's free to get in and hang out and just talk football with us. But you do have to register for at least a spot. ScoreNorth.com/happy hour. ScoreNorth.com/happy hour. Our friends at Three Jack in Minneapolis, Friday, April 26th from 3 to 5 p.m. Dex, tell the audience that they want to get rid of their murky, disgusting dock and lakeside. Where should they turn to?
How about Aquaside? Aquaside can get rid of that blech that's in the bottom of your lake or whatever you have going on there. Aquaside pellets, they're safe. They're registered with the EPA and DNR, and they'll help you even diagnose what's going on in there. So our friends at Aquaside can help you clean up that lake as you start to get dock season out there. It's cabin season coming up here soon, too. So when you get that dock in, you want that lake to be clean. Go check out our friends at Aquaside. Shipping is free, too. You can go to aquaside.com to learn more.
Speaking of free shipping, our friends at Dennis Kirk are here for the summer months. It's riding season, and they offer free shipping on all orders over $89 and same-day shipping on orders placed before 8 p.m. Central Time. If you're in the market for parts, apparel, and accessories for motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes, snowmobiles even, if you want to get ahead for next winter, go to DennisKirk.com and check out over 185,000 items. Check them out, DennisKirk.com. We appreciate their partnership here on Purple Daily, the Score North Twin Show, Flagrant Howells, back on board for another year here. So, okay, Bill Simmons put out a funny tweet a couple days ago just saying, he wasn't like insulting anyone, but of all the time and money and resources, both in the NFL and even outside in the media world, right? You know, we're all certainly immersed in this, that goes into figuring out which quarterbacks are going to pan out and not. You still wind up with drafts like 2018, where it goes Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and then Lamar Jackson. And then 2017, where Mitch Trubisky is the first quarterback off the board, 8 picks ahead of Patrick Mahomes at 10, and then Deshaun Watson at 12. I guess my question to you, Thor, is like, let's go to the 2017 draft specifically. If the Bears had drafted Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs had drafted Mitch Trubisky, how would those teams and players have looked 6 years later?
Trubisky, Andy Reid, I think he could have made him into like a passable starter. And you're setting me up here, and I really don't want to toot my own horn, but I hated Mitch Trubisky, and I liked Mahomes. People know I cover college football. Because at Texas Tech, Mahomes, he had the bazooka, and he was so creative. I just really liked his game. So like that process, I was you know, banging the table for, and I didn't understand why people liked Trubisky so much, because he had been stuck behind this guy named Marquise Williams, who was a UDFA to the Packers the year before for several years, and then the last year, the 1 year that Trubisky got onto the field, UNC happened to have this four wide receiver system where all four of the wide receivers played in the NFL. I think three of them got drafted, and it was like this downfield vertical system. Yeah. Do I think that Reed could have, you know, turned Trubisky into a passable guy? Yeah. And do I think the Bears would have yanked down, would Mahomes have won four Super Bowls with the Bears? No, assuredly not. But context matters, and the landing spots absolutely matters for these quarterbacks. So
see where my point is. Like, yes. The Vikings might have the best context. And if Drake May or JJ goes to the Patriots versus the Vikings, you know, like, but to your point, yes. Like, does Mahomes win a bunch of Super Bowls with the Bears? Probably not. So that context matters too, right?
Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah. Look, I think that if Drake May goes to the Patriots, I think that that could be disastrous. With his evaluation and what he needs, and then that situation, you know, and I hope I'm wrong. Like, I don't root against the kids. It's just my take, like, coming out. You know, I mean, it's, you know, just my job, like what I have to do, whatever. But that is what I would foresee. But if Drake May comes to the Vikings, that is an awesome situation for him. You know, so the landing spot is super important for, you know, in any situation, but particularly for the quarterbacks, to your point. It is the most important thing for that position.
And in, you know, if Mahomes gets taken by the Bears, first of all, he's not coached up as well, for sure. Second of all, he plays immediately. Like, you see an interesting pattern here of guys, you know, say what you will about Jordan Love, but he looks pretty damn good now. If you put Jordan Love in year one, and the Packers tend to overdo this, obviously, but there's a case to be made there. If Lamar Jackson goes top five, put him on a different team where they don't adapt their offense. I mean, look at what, you know, John Harbaugh there was willing to adjust his offense completely, which, by the way, was very, very smart. A lot of teams won't do that. Like, that's why this whole thing, it's an art form, and it's also in having an infrastructure that you can trust completely. And that's where O'Connell, like, you know, Kevin O'Connell, yes, he was hired to coach this team. Yes, it's important. There's a lot of things that he does day to day that are incredibly important. At the end of the day, I assure you, Thursday night is the reason why the Vikings hired him primarily.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Pat Mahomes, just like speaking to a specific on that, he was like sort of that wild stallion prospect, and the high-end traits were all there. He had the bazooka, he had the creativity, and he was awesome outside of structure at Texas Tech. He had to win a lot of these shootouts. One of my favorite college games of all time is when he took on Baker Mayfield's Oklahoma team. And that team was – Baker Mayfield's Oklahoma team was awesome. And so they were putting all these points on Texas Tech's awful defense at that time. So Pat Mahomes, it was like him single-handedly going – returning fire. And people need, if they haven't seen that game, look up the box score. It's the dumbest thing. You'll think it's typos, the stats they put up in that game. But when Pat Mahomes went to the NFL, there was a lot of unfair criticism about him during the draft process. But the one thing that he absolutely had to learn, and if he hadn't, there was a shot that his game was going to play with. I don't know that he would have outright busted, but never would have gotten close to where he did now. It's a similar-ish thing to what we talk about with Caleb Williams. The thing he didn't have to do at Texas Tech, it was the anticipatory throw over the middle thing, right? It was a lot of the freelancing and then the throwing downfield, extending the plays the NFL timing concepts, the short stuff, right? Like the things that fans think of as the easy stuff, that was the stuff that they weren't doing there. Well, that was Andy Reid had to convince Pat Mahomes. It's not like easy stuff. Like that's the stuff where if you don't do it, you will become so easy to defend. Mm-hmm. Like, do you understand how that is going to make you so easy to defend for the NFL? And that is going to play your game way down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Once that sort of became ingrained in Pat Mahomes, that is why he became so impossible to defend. Remember Pat Mahomes' third, fourth, fifth year when NFL teams realized how good he was throwing down the field and they're like, all right, fine. We're just going to put two deep safeties every single time. You're going to have to dink and dunk up the field. Pat Mahomes was like, fine.
Cool.
So then it was the intermediate stuff, short and intermediate. And then he just sliced and diced them up there. And the Chiefs just kept winning. So now it doesn't matter. It's pick your poison. Pat Mahomes will beat you whatever way you decide in advance to allow Pat Mahomes to beat you.
Yeah. So you have your order is Caleb. And then do you have JJ two or do you have Jaden Daniels two?
I have Jaden too.
Okay. And then JJ McCarthy. And then this is all, I mean, we've kind of talked about this for a couple months. You've had these guys slotted in. I told these guys a couple days ago, I think if it meant giving up the 2025 first round pick and getting up into the two or the three slot, I'm okay doing that for Jaden Daniels. I think for JJ McCarthy, Drake May, if you could get up to four or five and hang on to your 2025 first round pick, how many quarterbacks would you give up the 2025 first round pick for if you're the Vikings? Caleb doesn't count, obviously, because he's
I don't want to give that up. So for me, I'm not even engaging with Washington. I don't think that Washington is being genuine in terms of like what the Vikings could actually pay. Maybe New England is theoretically, we'll have to see, you know, at the end of the day, whether they would actually take like a Kelly Blue Book trade offer, i.e. something even close to what the Cardinals took last year from the Texans, which is way over. But like, would the Patriots actually take that overage over the, you know, what it was? Mm-hmm. That is close to something around what I would do. But for me, you know, and we've talked about this, I would rather engage with the Cardinals and the Chargers. And the one scenario that we haven't talked about, I'm not sure if we talked about it at all, but I think is at least worth broaching very quickly with the draft only 1 week away, because I think it is at least in play enough to broach. I don't mean to do the reckless speculation thing.
I mean, it is reckless speculation Thursday here.
Wait, you don't reckless. Mean, don't come into speculate. Our house and then say that you're not going to recklessly speculate, Thorsky.
Yeah,
it's not the way this works.
You know, it's just talk amongst friends, just some reckless speculation amongst friends.
Yeah, just don't just kick
back. Kwesi being the analytically minded guy that he is, and it's been working the phones, and we know that the top three teams are, as you know, the two and three. I mean, we know that the one spot has already been taken. That card's already been turned into the commissioner. But two and three are asking for the moon. I don't think that those picks are going to be traded. The four and five slot, I think particularly four, the price has been really high at this point. There's this scenario where if the Cardinals are asking for the moon, like let's say the Cardinals are asking for essentially the same thing that they were asking for last year for the three slot, and Kwesi's like, bro, it's the four slot this year. Like, why would we give you the same amount for one pick less? And he's like, oh, because it's Marvin Harrison, you know, yada yada. And Kwesi's like, can't pay that. And then the Chargers are like, well, it's Malik Nabers or it's Joe Alt. So we need a ridiculous amount as well. There is this scenario where Kwesi feels that is cost prohibitive. And then it becomes, do you call the Giants bluff? Because if the Giants so desperately need help at both wide receiver and offensive tackle, and both of those positions, you are going to have a mega, 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 mega stud available there. Whether it is Malik Nabers, whether it is Roma Dunze, whether it is Joe Alt, whether it is Fashanu, whether it is Fatanu, depending on who they end up liking, there's so many people at that position that are ready to play right away and be stars in the NFL right away. do you call their bluff? There is this idea out there that the Giants have deliberately put out into the media that they will take a quarterback just so a team will hop them. So one of those two position groups, a guy will fall down to them. If the Giants were not going to take the quarterback and you could just trade with, let's say, the Titans, you would then be able to retain the 23rd pick and your 2025 first round pick while paying the QB4 a lower slot to take him in, you know, the lower rookie contract slot by taking him in lower pick slot. It is at least in theoretical play, but of course you also from the backside have to make sure that you box out Sean Payton and, you know, the Raiders probably less theoretically so, but Sean Payton in particular. Now that would be the true thread the needle scenario. And boy, would it take a lot of gumption from Kwesi, because if that did not work out, if he gambled like that, he reads the other 31 guys at the poker table, he gambles on draft night with that scenario, and then the Giants are there at 6, and then they turn in the card with QB4 on it. Oh, imagine the scene in the Fillmore at that point.
No.
Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go.
Not happy if they turn in with four. But, well,
it's QB4. No, it's bad.
Well, yes. If the Giants turned it in with the wide receiver, that's when it would be the celebration.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And now you play.
But like, it would be the opposite if it, you know, the other way. Yeah. But what a seed it would be either way. I mean, like, and so with Kwesi, you are just trying to suss out the intentions of the Giants in that case. This is what he has been doing, and all of his people in the field. Again, this is a poker game. You're talking to the Patriots. You're talking to the Cardinals. You're talking to the Chargers. The Giants, I'm not sure as much if you're talking to them as talking to everyone around them and wishing you could bug their building without it being illegal. They're trying to figure out what actually they're doing. Yeah.
Good shot.
Dude, wow.
Finch,
I love
Home
it.
Solutions. Send them out there. Have them bug the building.
I love it, dude. Well, so a couple things. We got to wrap this episode, but you're going to hear from Thor at least a couple of times next week on Purple Daily. Your schedule is crazy. Our schedule is crazy, but we're going to connect hopefully a couple times next week. Also, for the listeners, if you go over to the Score North app right now, you can win tickets to the Icons of Rock, the Arena Rock Legends, featuring the biggest Arena Rock tribute band, playing all the hits live at Medina Entertainment Center this Saturday night, from Kiss, Alice Cooper, Heart, Def Leppard, and more. The Icons of Rock are a must-see show. So you can grab a pair of tickets, register to win a pair of tickets, I should say, right now through Listener Rewards in the Score North app. Thor, what a Thor's day here.
Hell yeah.
Great stuff, dude.
Phil, next next week on one of those episodes, I want to do a full 7-round mock where at the very end of it, we get a late 7-round pick. So then we can go through and pick out a couple guys that then we offer the big UDFA bonus to at the very end, the best guys who don't get drafted as well.
We'll do it. We'll for sure do a final mock simulation, and we'll get our schedules together because you're doing your Fantasy Pros live streams on the first couple nights. We might be able to get you on the YouTube channel for a few minutes here and there, but you guys will hear from Thor on Purple Daily next week. So
might be making a cameo at some point.
Love it, dude.
Whoa.
Thor Nystrom from Fantasy
Recklessly
Pros.
Recklessly speculating. Beautiful job.
Thanks, guys.
This
appreciate it.
Purple Daily. Just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. See you guys.